Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's get the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio started, and hey, what better way to do that than
start spreading the news.
All right, I didn't introduce myself. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and that music means that Schomburg Stu is here. How are you, Stu?
Oh, if it's Frank, it's Friday. What's going on, John?
There you go. That works out nicely. Well, hey, if you want to call into the podcast and talk to Stu and I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. It'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And, you know, you went all the way over there. You might as well give it a like. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed as well, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, still don't have Stu on Twitter. You know, maybe one of these days I'm going to be able to throw out a Twitter, you know, address for Stu. But otherwise, reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any message you need to forward to Stu along. So we will be all set. So there you go. All right. Well, you know, they had the NBA draft lottery last night, and it actually went well for the Bulls, which is a bit of a surprise after last year's fiasco. And luckily, you know, this is supposed to be a really weak draft, so moving up should help them. I still don't think they're going to get a player that's going to get them into the playoffs, but, you know, hey, at least they're going in the right direction. You know, in the end, the Minnesota Timberwolves won, but the team that really ate it, the New York Knicks, were the team that went bye-bye as they dropped to 8. Now, I have a theory on this, Stu. I want you to know what you think. You know, the Knicks have the absolute worst owner in sports. Was it Jim Boland? I think his name is. I think maybe that's incorrect. I think that's the Bulls coach that just got fired. But you know, either way, he's the worst owner in all of professional sports. I don't think the NBA is ever going to allow the Knicks to move up in these kind of situations to improve themselves. You know, I think last year they got number 3. This year they dropped to 8. You buying the conspiracy issue here with the Knicks, or you just think maybe they have bad luck?
I think they just have bad luck this time. I can't see any kind of a conspiracy theory, even with the bad odor of the Knicks, because let's face it, they are a major market. It would be in the NBA's best interest for the Knicks to field a respectable team, although when was the last time that happened?
Oh, God, I couldn't even tell you. And it's James Dolan who owns the Knicks. I think Jim Boylan was actually the Bulls coach.
Right.
So I believe he owns another professional sports team as well. I don't remember which other one it is. So that's kind of frightening. I'm always leery about anything the NBA does, especially, you know, when the Lakers jumped up last year and, you know, moved all the way up to 4, you know, and I mean, you know, we've seen it where, you know, before Dolan owned the Knicks, you know, they magically made the big jump to get Patrick Ewing. You know, we had it here locally where somehow the Bulls moved up to get the local guy, Derrick Rose, you know, and of course, you know, Cleveland getting number 1 so they could get LeBron James.
Yeah, I find those suspicious. I definitely find those 3 scenarios suspicious. But this one, I'm not quite sure that anything was involved to. Because, hey, let's face it, how did the Knicks do last year with their number 3 pick?
Yeah, well, you know, they took the best guy available, but, you know, it was another situation where, you know, that was a big drop-off. So,
yeah, it definitely was. And I don't think it worked out too well for them.
Here, I looked it up. I used Dan's favorite search engine, you know, good old Bing. And the Knicks have not made the playoffs since the 2012-2013 season. They actually did win their first-round matchup, but they lost in the semifinals. After that was it.
Yeah, that's amazing to think that a team like the Knicks, who have had a decent career in the NBA, I mean, have fallen so far from grace over the last 7 years. And we can't complain about that. We've got the Bulls, too, to consider.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bulls aren't, you know, that much that much better off, or, you know, however you want to look at it here. So we'll have to see how it goes. But
regarding the Bulls' number four pick, an allegedly reliable source told me that the player they might select might be of the Ken Holtzman, Sandy Koufax variety. Is that true?
So I heard that apparently the first name to come up was Obi Toppin, who I believe he may have been the NCAA Player of the Year. So, you know, that was one of the rumors I read. Of course, you know, it can change 8,000 times before we actually get to the draft. But, you know, he's I believe he played at Dayton, and he's an inside guy. He'll probably end up being a power forward in the pros.
I've seen a couple of sources saying that they're gonna might select somebody out of Tel Aviv. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that is always possible with the NBA draft. You know how these things go. So, you know, you just got to, you know, you got to kind of see how these work out. I only looked at the one mock draft, and that's who they had the Bulls taking. You know, there will be, you know, multiple mock drafts will come out, and, you know, we'll see. Yeah, here's one. Kyle Boone, who does CBS Sports, has the guy you're talking about. I'm going to guess this is Denny, D-E-N-I, and then the last name is Avjid, A-V-D-I-J-A. So,
yeah, I wasn't sure how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I'm sure I pronounced it wrong, but I gave it my best shot. You know, one of the other guys here, they have a couple that they pair up against each other. The other guy is Gary Parrish, and he has the Bulls going with Obi Toppin. He has Denny going right after him, 5 to Cleveland. So he's in the general area there.
Is there a date for the NBA draft, considering the playoffs are going on right now? Have they established the new date as to when the draft will take place?
Yeah, you know, they did, and I heard it yesterday, and for the life of me, I can't remember when it is. But I did hear it. I'll have to, we'll just jump on, you know, Dan's favorite search engine here and see what comes up. Well, that's last year's. That ain't going to do me any good. Let's see if this has been updated, because there was a June date here, and obviously that's not going to be correct. So,
not this year, for sure.
It doesn't look like they've updated this site yet. So it's definitely not happening in June of 2020, because we're already past that. So we'll see if we got anything else that pops up here that, you know, could be. There is a report here saying that it could be postponed even more than it is, which was just posted about an hour ago by USAtoday.com. So, you know, it may not matter when the actual date is. Currently, though, it is scheduled for October 16th.
And that would mean that, well, the playoffs will be over by October 16th, correct?
Hopefully. I believe they had a September 30th deadline or something. You never know with the NBA because those playoffs take a long time. And I'm sure the less teams we have, the more days off that will start to pop up. So.
And didn't you mention that they're not doing very well in the ratings for the playoff game so far?
Yeah, the ratings, surprisingly, and this was very surprising to me, stink. They're just terrible. And I don't know, I don't know why. Well, here, you'll find this funny really quick. I found a third mock draft that has the Bulls taking a point guard out of France by the name of Killian Hayes. So there you go. We got three mock drafts with three different picks. So
it's certainly going to be interesting when they make their selection.
Yeah, but and Dan and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. Like, I know why I don't watch the NBA draft, but or the NBA, basketball, regardless. I mean, I understand why I'm not watching, but I honestly thought, as hungry as we were for sports, and there was just such a great sign, when NASCAR came back and, they had their first event, they did, almost double or close to triple their normal rating. I thought for sure, now the NBA ratings have stunk for a while, but I really thought there would be an uptick, and I'm just wondering if maybe playing meaningless games hurt them.
It could very well be. And what about the NHL? Have they also done poorly in the ratings?
Unfortunately with the NHL, nobody cares. So I haven't heard anything about how their ratings are doing. So, it's just one of those things they're, just not reported on for whatever reason. The NHL just falls by the wayside when it comes to that.
I think, by the way, your thing regarding the mid-October date for the draft, it sounds reasonable to me. So you have to consider one thing. Will the Bulls have a coach by that time?
Yeah, you would like to think. So, they might not. So, I was kind of I'm looking for some NHL ratings here, but even like when you Bing, what makes sense? I Bing NHL TV ratings, and I it's difficult to find anything. So, like the one article I have here says the ratings in Canada are very high. Apparently, they're getting approximately 5.7 million people
that's very
watching games. Yeah, but that's just Canada. They don't have the U.S. rating here in this article. So, it's just, just one of those things. Yeah, it's funny because I Binged, NHL TV ratings, and the first article that pops up is about Big Brother. And I'm like, how in the hell does that have anything to do with the NHL? So,
yeah, that is one show that I have never watched, and I never will.
No.
Along with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and all that other gimmick shows.
Yeah, I'm not watching any of that garbage. My life isn't that exciting, and I have better things to do than that. Let's see. They have a little more info on some of it here. Apparently, the first Major League Baseball game was, that rain-shortened Yankees national game. That drew 4 million viewers. So that was a very strong start for the Major League Baseball. Here, we actually have something. It looks like the NHL is doing They have them listed for 553,000 viewers, which oddly is up for them. They're up about 11% from where they normally are.
And that is not a great number either.
So, no, but, you know, hey, at least they're up. I believe the NBA is, you know, like I said, just kind of crappy. Here you go. The NBA is actually down 7% since returning. So somehow they went the wrong way.
And are some of those games in either the NHL or the NBA local market telecast only, or is everything national now?
Everything is national now. There's no, all the NBA games are on ESPN or TNT, and all the hockey games belong to NBC. So it's either on the NBC Sports Network or one of their, you know, the main NBC network, or they do have some sister networks that they've used before.
Yeah,
I don't believe they're no longer doing that because there aren't enough, you know, there aren't enough games right now. It's all exclusive. So, yeah, it's interesting that hockey is up and basketball is down.
But what a difference between the ratings in the United States for hockey and for Canada.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not
a surprise,
really a big
right?
surprise. You know, I mean, it's in reality, I mean, it's Canada's game. So.
Right. But,
that's kind of stuff.
I knew it would be more than here, but I didn't think it would be that 10 times as much.
Yeah, I'm actually a little surprised, but, you know, when you think about it, you know, the CFL just announced that they canceled their season. You know, the Blue Jays aren't playing in Canada, so they're may not, you know, I don't know what sport, you know, what other sports are available, you know, to them. I mean, obviously they can get the national stuff like we do, but, you know, if you're, you know, hockey is basically Canada's favorite sport, so, you know,
sure.
They're probably going to watch that over baseball or basketball, and especially with no representation, even though the Maple Leafs aren't in the playoffs either. You know, that, and I think it helps that, you know, the games are being played in Canada.
Yeah, well, that makes a big difference, I think.
So, but, yeah, I don't, you know, and, you know, that's always one of the, you know, one of the odd things that, you know, I've wondered about the NHL is, you know, when they expand, you know, I get that they want to try to get into some of these big markets, but, you know, when you get into some of these southern markets, you know, it nobody cares about hockey. You know, I mean, like you get into Atlanta, which obviously is a major market, and nobody went to those games. I mean,
no.
You know, even the team can't draw in Atlanta, and you're going to plug a hockey team in there.
Yeah.
So you got to go with your strength. And, you know, as much as I hate to say it, they've got to be, you know, either in the Northeast where it's a bigger sport, or it's got to be in Canada. So I'll be interested to see how the Seattle team does, because at least it's close to Canada.
Yeah, well, right on the border, of course, and that'll. I think they should do well there, but yeah, I thought Atlanta was an odd choice for hockey because even their good baseball teams in their heyday that didn't draw all that well.
Right. Well, you know, I think the year the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, I don't believe they sold out every home game. So you know, I mean, just think about that.
Yeah, that is astonishing, really. When you have a solid contender that goes to the Super Bowl and you don't sell out your home games. And that's the town, the sports town Atlanta is, and they've always been that way. And that's why it always struck me as a very odd choice when they had hockey there.
Yeah, and, you know, I often wonder, you know, why some places are like that. I mean, you would think a big metropolitan city like Atlanta wouldn't have any problem drawing. I mean, you would think that, you know, as long as the stadium is located in a decent area, you would think even a bad team could draw, but it just doesn't happen there.
No. Well, there are some markets that even with good teams, they don't draw. We've talked at length about Tampa, for example, in baseball, who are a perennial contender. Right now they're in second place, I believe, in the AL East, right behind the Yankees, and they don't draw. Of course, we can't talk about drawing fans this season.
Yeah. Fortunately, the best thing for some of those markets is the fact that, you know, they can't have people in. And, yeah, by the way, Tampa actually went into first place yesterday because they swept the Yankees.
Oh, I didn't see the results from yesterday, so I knew they were in second place, but, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, they swept that three-game series, in New York, and that moved them a half a game into first place. But I know, like we've talked about Cleveland before, you know, they've been a perennial playoff contender, and, you know, they're one of the poorer drawing teams in baseball. But oddly though, the Browns draw like mad. They sell out every game, and they haven't been to the playoffs in how long? So.
Yeah, I think they were, I knew initially they would draw because there was a perennial team for the Browns for so many years before they left. And when they came back, I had a feeling they would draw quite well. And even as they have not done too well in terms of wins and losses, they still seem to draw well. So Cleveland is a very strong football town.
Even like here in Chicago, I mean, the Bulls sold out how many years for so long, even with this bad team. I believe that streak ended this year, but the White Sox, it doesn't matter what they do. Nobody goes to the games.
Yeah, which is a shame because I think that they're on the upswing right now, and they're in third place in the AL Central, but I think they have a good chance of making the playoffs, and if there were fans around, they probably wouldn't be drawing anyway, even despite the young, exciting team they have.
Yeah, I mean, they would still be in the bottom half of, the attendance bracket if we were letting fans in the games. It's just, unfortunately, it's the nature of the beast in some of these cities, and, who knows why or how it happens, but, it does, and I do wonder, if it comes to the fact that, like with football, there's only 8 games in your city, not counting playoffs, where all the other sports, baseball has 81 and basketball and hockey have, I think, 41. I wonder if it's just the sheer numbers that helps the NFL to always sell out these games, because they do pretty well everywhere except for Jacksonville, who can't seem to draw fans.
Yeah, I often wondered why that was the case, because they've had some good teams over the years, but it doesn't make any difference. They don't seem to draw there.
Yeah, again, a lot of it has to do, like Dan went to, a Tampa Bay Rays game when he was in Florida visiting his father-in-law, and one of the things he mentioned is the stadium is out kind of in the middle of nowhere, and it's very difficult to get to. So, that's one of those things that, immediately is going to turn fans off. You've got to drive out of your way, and then it's tough to get to it. It helps if you have a location a little closer to the city, or if you're spoiled like the Cubs and the Red Sox, and your stadium is right there in the city. So...
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I wonder what the decision-making was for Tampa to move to that hard-to-get-to location.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think it was really a decision. It's like, this is the stadium we have. You play in this, or you go someplace else.
Yeah, it's a shame, really, because, as we pointed out, they've been a strong contending team for years, and because of where they're located, they just can't seem to draw fans. You wonder how solvent that franchise could be.
Yeah, well, and it's weird because, they contend with, literally no real superstars.
No.
When you look at the team, I mean, I'm trying to think back, and I guess would David Price be the biggest name that's been there as of late?
Probably so.
So,
Well, there are two teams. Yeah, there are two contending teams in the American League that are like that. And it's Tampa and Oakland, and they always seem to have no superstars, but they always seem to contend. And this year is no exception. Oakland's doing quite well again.
Yeah, you know, but at least Oakland has some guys. You know, I mean, like, you know, baseball fans know who Matt Chapman is. You know, when it comes to Oakland, so you know, I mean, at least they have him. I don't know if you could throw any of their other guys in that category quite yet. But you know, the Rays. I mean, I bet there are some average fans who can't name anybody on the team.
Yeah, I'm sure. And year after year, though, they seem to be a contender for a playoff spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just the, you know, obviously they do great scouting, you know, because they make, you know, fantastic draft picks and quality trades, and, you know, they can get a lot out of guys that, you know, for some reason don't produce in other places. You know, I know G-Man Choi has done really well in Tampa when he didn't do a whole lot anyplace else.
Yeah, wonder how they study these players, and with a subpar record, they bring them to Tampa, and then they shine.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's, you know, there's something about the system that just works, or, you know, maybe, you know, they're coached up. You know, they must have a quality coaching staff. Because, yeah, they'll work wonders with some guys. And, you know, I know that, you know, this year is going to be a little weird. We're going to get those stats that, you know, you're going to look at it and go, wait, this guy only hit what? But it's going to be kind of an anomaly. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's interesting to see the things they come up with and how they manage to put these things together.
Yeah, it's very impressive. I've always been impressed with both Tampa and Oakland, and do you know offhand when there were fans, did Oakland draw at all?
No, they're not a very good drawing franchise either, but to be fair, from all the reports I heard, is their stadium is a dump.
Yeah.
They're apparently getting a new facility. I don't know, with everything going on, if stuff like that is going to get pushed back. But there were some plans for a really nice new stadium for the A's. So maybe if they, you know, if they get that going, you know, they'll have a better shot at drawing. But yeah, remember they were one of the teams that struggled so bad. They had a game where they let fans in for free.
Yeah, I don't remember that happening, but that's really desperation when they do that.
Yeah. So yeah, and they did. I think they did. They sold out, or they came close to selling out. They had a really good number for that game. But yeah, it's just, again, one of those situations where for whatever reason you get a winner and people don't come watch them.
Yeah, and I don't think that Oakland is real solid in terms of their economy anyway, so I'm sure that doesn't help them any.
No, you know, and that's always an issue, and you know, that's a lot of stuff we don't know. You know, like obviously Tampa being in Florida, you know, you got to guess there's a lot of retired people there who may be on fixed incomes and can't afford to go to a game.
Yeah.
We don't know the logistics of the area or, you know, anything like that. So, I don't know the market in Oakland or Cleveland or, you know, the side, you know, we do know that, you know, there's less money on the south side of Chicago than the north side of Chicago.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, maybe that plays into effect on why White Sox fans don't go, because, you know, you went to a game last year with your son. It's expensive.
Very expensive. But we don't care how expensive it is as long as the Cubs win, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's always, you know, generally the thought is as long as your team wins, that's always been the kind of unanimous thing is, you know, winning draws fans. Apparently, you know, as we talked about, that's not always the case, but that's what they say.
Yeah, exactly right. And by the way, we're talking about fixed income, and I suppose maybe the same thing might hold true for Miami. They don't seem to draw. Yeah. Maybe a lot of retirees out there, although I believe their basketball team draws pretty well.
Yes. Yeah, except it's one of those things where they all show up late and they all leave early.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because that was another place Dan went, and he noticed, you know, him and his wife went to the game and they got there early, and there were literally just hundreds of people at the game, and they were there, you know, like 30, 45 minutes early because, you know, he wanted to check things out. And then, yeah, basically nobody walks in till either 5 minutes before tip or right after tip off. So,
there's one,
you know,
baseball
then,
team. By the way, there's one baseball team that's like that also. When the fans arrive early and arrive late and leave early, and that was would be for the Dodgers.
Yeah. And they're the best drawing team in baseball.
Yeah, so. But they definitely it's really a very late arriving crowd, and a crowd leaves early too.
Well, you know, it's L.A. You got to beat that traffic. So.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I noticed the same thing when I was out there at Chavez Ravine in 1963.
Yeah, you had to beat the traffic.
Yeah, right. I gave some people a ride from Chavez, and I did notice that the fans did arrive a little bit later than I would expect it. Especially, wouldn't it happen at Wrigley Field that way. And sixth, seventh innings, they started to trickle out, and to avoid that Southern California traffic, which is pretty bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, like Dan mentioned at the Heat game, the fans start to leave with about 5 minutes left in the game. You'll see people slowly start to kind of weed their way out. So,
does that mean they would leave even though the score was 98-98 with 4 minutes to play?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you remember, they had that playoff game. And, boy, I wish I remember who it was against, but it was with the LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh era where they were down kind of big and everybody left. And they made a comeback and everybody rushed to try to get back in, but they couldn't because, you know, once you're out, they don't let you back in. So there were literally – yeah, thousands of people stacked up at the entry door, and I think they finally did let them back in, but they were just stuck because, you know, they left.
Yeah, in an NBA game, more often than not, the last 5 minutes tells a story, and it's usually a tight finish, so it's a bad time to be leaving.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, you know, I guess apparently that's just kind of how it goes, you know, with you or with them or, you know, however they want to work it out. But yeah, it's weird. I, you know, like I've never left early, so I wouldn't know.
No, nor I will have to say that over the years, when the Cubs are losing 12-2 in the ninth inning, I would duck out to my, conceding the victory for the opposition.
Yeah, no, we always stayed till the bitter end, no matter, you know, what the score was. We toughed it out and, made sure.
A true baseball fan.
Yeah, well, you know, my father was the kind of guy, because we always went, you know, when I was a kid, we went to one Cub game and one Sox game. Because, on my mother's side of the family, they grew up as Sox fans. And in my dad's family, you were either a Cub fan or a Cardinal fan because he's from Southern Illinois. We one Cub game, one Sox game, and we would always just kind of take our time because, you know, if you're going to stay till the end of the game, traffic's going to be terrible. So you relax, you take your time walking to the car, you kind of look around a little bit, see what's going on, and, you know, then jump into your traffic. So, you know, not a whole lot you can do.
There was a lot of criticism when I first started watching the Cubs and the White Sox. The White Sox fans always contended that the majority of the Cub fans weren't true baseball fans, with the exception of the fans on the bleachers, who really paid attention to the game. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't think it's so much like that now that they've improved and they've started winning. But, you know, before, you know, the team was good and they went through the rebuilding, you know, the one advantage the Cubs had was people wanted to see Wrigley Field. So they would draw people who would just want to come in and check out the park. You know, and that obviously, you know, that's a huge advantage because, you know, there's not another stadium like it anywhere. You know, kind of like Fenway, you get all these new stadiums. And, yeah, you know, they're nice looking, but, you know, they're all kind of the same, and there's no nostalgia to them. So, you know, it makes sense that people will do that. And, you know, I mean, again, you know, luckily the Red Sox don't need that this year because they stink. So, you know, with no fans being around, it's not going to hurt them. But, yeah, you know, I mean, like, you know, I know people who went that didn't like baseball just because they wanted to go hang out at Wrigley Field.
And it has not always been that way. I'd say it has been that way, what you're talking about, since the advent of cable TV, when folks around the other could see some of the games from Wrigley Field and, hey, that looks like a neat ballpark to attend. Because it was not always that way. When the Cubs were bad, they did not draw like that. And just the novelty factor of people coming out to see the Wrigley Field just didn't happen. I can remember in the 60s.
Yeah, well, you know, if you remember the great Elia tirade, you know, remember the great Lee Elia tirade that he had when he was the manager and just went crazy? What did he mention? He mentioned something like the 10,000 fans that come out every day or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that wasn't all that long ago. What was that, the 70s? Was he the 70s or the 80s he was their manager?
Yeah, I think that's right, the 70s. Or maybe the 80s. It could have been the 80s. I think it may be in the 80s. But, he had a few nasty things to say, and that's a classic broadcast. And still, he can listen to it in some places on the internet, and it was quite amusing.
Yeah, well, the score, the local station here, the overnight guy actually plays it every year on the anniversary of it because he was there. He was in the locker room when it happened. So, yeah, he plays it every year on the anniversary of the tirade.
And I'm sure all the fun words are bleeped out, though, when he replays it.
You know, it's odd. There don't seem to be too many manager tirades anymore when it comes to the media. I remember Hal McCray freaking out for the Royals and throwing things around his office when the media was in there, but that was quite a few years ago now as well. So I don't see it happening too much now, and you know, it's a little disappointing.
Well, don't forget we're in a politically correct age now, so that even seems to hold over now into baseball too, and all the sports.
So, yeah, it's a little rare, you know. And then we did see, you know, obviously just what was it, a couple days ago, you know, and I still don't know what he said, but whatever Tom Brenneman said, I'm going to guess basically ended his career. You know, I think there may be a slight chance he'll get to return to the Reds just because his father had such a history there, but he's definitely done as an NFL announcer.
Yeah,
and
he's been terminated in the NFL. Well, let's put it this way.
Yeah, you know,
he made a slur, homosexual slur against a specific city. And I'm not sure what city he was talking about. I can guess and probably be pretty accurate, but that's what got him booted off the air.
Yeah, because I've been trying to find out what he actually said, but nobody's written it and nobody's mentioned it. So I don't know what the actual phrase he used was, but I did see his apology, and wow, that was just horrendous, because he actually continued to call the game while he was apologizing.
He called the home run while he was apologizing.
Your guy Castellanos hit a home run.
Yeah.
So he had to call that while he was trying to apologize. And I mean, it came off as just terrible. So I don't know. You know, I don't know if we'll ever see him again. And you know, he's had a long broadcasting career. So like I said, I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe he eventually comes back with the Reds next year or something like that, just because of the history. But yeah, there, you know, there's no way the NFL would ever take him back. So
no. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'll give you a hint. It was a three-letter word, and I said it refers to a slur on people who are homosexual. So I think you could probably figure out what that word is. Although I will not repeat it on the air.
Is it like the English word for cigarette that they use?
Yes, that is correct. Wow.
Okay.
I'm very impressed, John, that you can segue into that. And yes, you are correct. And you're right about that English term for cigarettes, too. It just shows the audience, by the way, how well read you are.
Yeah, so, you know, again, it's just that whole thing of where I always thought I'd do well on Jeopardy because I just have a lot of useless knowledge. So
Yeah. That's an odd term that the English use for cigarettes. I don't know how they came up with it, but I've seen that. I read a lot of English authors, people out of London and the Irish authors, and they still refer to the cigarettes in that term.
I watch a lot of Sherlock Holmes. Does that count? Oh, so
yeah.
You know, I'm a sucker. You know, if I can find those old serials, or I listen to them on the radio or my Alexa, that's all that's all I end up listening to is all the old time stuff. So
yeah, Sherlock Holmes has a long and historical career, both on the radio and the movies, and of course the shows you're probably talking about, the radio shows were. Basil Rathbone played him on the radio and in the movies for many years.
Well, I get a kick out of it, and I know you have Sirius XM in your car too, but I think they only do it overnight. If you go on the classic radio channel, yeah, maybe once a week they'll play what they call the sports reel. And it's basically your sports report, you know, stuff like that that goes for about 5 minutes or so. But it's from whatever date it is, you know. So, like, today it would be, you know, August 21st, but it's from, like, 1960-something, whatever year they happen to be on. And I get a kick out of just kind of listening to them go back and, you know, do those kind of things. So it's kind of entertaining.
I'm sure that Bill Stern, you must have heard Bill Stern then a lot of times because he did one of those 5 or 10-minute reports every day for years. And on a national basis.
Yeah, I believe his is the report they use. I believe he's the guy doing it. I'll have to try to, you know, catch the name next time, but I believe it is Bill, so it's probably Bill Stern, like you're talking about there.
Right. I remember listening to him years ago.
So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of, I get a kick out of it. It's kind of interesting and, you know, just kind of look at it and go, oh, hey, okay, you know, this is cool.
Yeah, the bad thing about that, the Channel 148, I think it is, for the Sirius, for the old-time show, is that I'm in the car so infrequently now that I can never finish a story I start listening to.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I mentioned to you, this was probably a few months ago, I actually drove around to hear the end of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar series. That they were playing because I was interested in it. So, yeah, I think I ended up driving around like an extra 15 or 20 minutes because I wanted to hear how it ended. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Richard Conte did that, and I know that there was another radio show that Sinatra did, actually. That was a straight show, no singing, and he played a private eye.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it was called, but I remember the show. I remember hearing about the show. So.
Yeah, well, as I pointed out to you many times, I grew up in radio before TV, and I was always disappointed when they made the shift over to television because it was never as good as what you do when you listen to the show on the radio with using your imagination.
Yeah, you know, that would be true. I mean, that's I could definitely see that, you know, just listening to these things. And, I have the same problem you do. You know, now my drive is so short to work that I get to hear 5 minutes of something. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
what happened?
Yeah.
What's going
right.
to happen?
By the way, it's pretty funny when you listen to these some of these shows now. I noticed it too. You know, one of the guys, it's a radio show, a mystery show. I'm going to knock on the door. And then you hear him knocking in the door. Let's knock on the door. Yeah, it's a pretty funny stuff.
Kind of the way they had to explain it. I mean, I know I remember, you know, listening to some of the, you know, the old time sports radio announcers when they were doing, when they would get into television, and they would still describe everything like they were talking to their radio audience, because that's what you had to do.
Yeah.
So.
And they had some very interesting shows on the radio in those days, some grisly horror shows. One of the most famous ones was called Lights Out, and truly frightening.
Yeah.
And if you listen to it at night with all the lights off, and it can scare you.
Yeah, you know, occasionally I get to catch some of them. Here and there they play a few. I was disappointed because WGN just cut my favorite Saturday night program. They used to air it from, I think it was 10 to 1. They played all the old time radio stuff.
Didn't they? That was at a long time, many years in that slot.
It used to be two nights a week. It used to be both Saturday and Sunday. And then they limited them to just Saturday. And then here just the last, I think it was a couple months ago, they just got rid of it completely. And I was just totally disappointed.
And they used to have a show on public broadcasting was with Chuck Shaden. He did it on the Saturday afternoons for years, having old radio shows. But I think that's probably gone too.
Yeah, I did hear that the pair that hosted the show, I can't remember what they're, Carl Lowry and Lisa Wolf. I believe they're on locally here at AM 560, but I don't know. I would guess they're doing the same program, but I don't know what time they're on. And I'll have to look it up and see if maybe I can hunt them down and see if I can listen again.
Is it still called AM 560? Is it still called WIND? That's because when I first listened to the Cub games, they were on WIND 560.
I think so, but I don't know. I haven't listened to it in quite some time. So,
yeah, as I mentioned, I started listening to the Cubs on WIND and with Burt Wilson.
Yeah, I don't know. When I grew up, I actually didn't realize, as a kid, that there was another station besides WGN, because that's all my parents listened to.
Yeah.
So
they had it on for a long, long time.
That was all I ever got to hear. None of that rock and roll music. So.
Yeah, we had some. There were some good announcers on the on WGN, and one of the best didn't. Unfortunately, died in an automobile accident. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Jack Quinlan, terrific, terrific baseball announcer.
Oh. So, yeah, no, I don't think the name doesn't sound familiar, so.
Yeah, he was a great announcer. He's a lot better than Vince Lloyd, who, in fact, Vince Lloyd took over for when Quinlan died in that automobile accident. Vince Lloyd moved from being the Jack Brickhouse sidekick on the TV to doing the Cub games on WGN radio.
Yeah, I think when I started listening on radio, it was Vince Lloyd, and I think I remember him working with Lou Boudreau as well.
That's correct. That is correct. Absolutely, 100% correct. And he was not the greatest radio announcer, Lou Boudreau, but he had a lot of interesting things to say. He was a good color man.
Yeah, he definitely fit in well. But a lot of players, are good like that. That was one of the things I liked about Hawk Harrelson that a lot of people hated was, he was a player, so he could give you that little bit of insight that a lot of the guys, Len Casper's never played the game, so there's things he's not going to understand. And while people think he's a good announcer, I'm not one of them, but people think he's a good announcer, you know, he just there's just things he doesn't know.
Yeah, and one of the unfortunate things Marquis has done, talking about Casper, is they added a third person in the group for some of the innings, yeah. And I think that really distracts from the game when they do that.
So, yeah, you know, I don't like the extra banter. You know, like, I want to know about the game, and, like, that's one of the things that I really like about the White Sox booth with this Jason Benetti and Steve Stone, is Benetti set Stone up to talk about what the pitcher is going to try to do. So, like, tonight when I tune in, you know, the Cubs are playing the White Sox, and obviously we have the multiple choices. You can watch it on Marquee or you can watch it on NBC Sports Network. I'll go with the NBC Sports Network because I'll get Jason Benetti and Steve Stone over Len and JD, and I'll take that, you know, 100 out of 100 times.
Yes, well,
but, you know, Stone will be like, well, you know, he's looking to throw this here in this area and, you know, so on and so forth, and break it down where Len Casper wants to talk to me about bands and food and everything else that's kind of going on.
As I mentioned to you a few times, there was one crucial moment in the game, and he was discussing who had the best hot fudge sundae, or else who had the best cover of a heavy metal song. And the score may have been 2-1 in the ninth or eighth inning. And I said, who really cares?
Yeah, and, you know, what I have found really interesting is, you know, the MLB Network is doing games, and a lot of times they have their guys calling it from the studio. And Jim Cott has done a lot of these games, and he is fantastic breaking stuff down and, you know, kind of explaining stuff. And, you know, like, I know he worked with Bob Costas a little last year, but I don't remember him being that good, you know, because I think Costas kind of overshadowed him. And I'm wondering if, you know, getting away from such a big persona with the name like Bob Costas helped him out. And he's been really good for the game. I've heard him.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm talking to you, mentioning Benetti. I've been impressed with him. I like him as an announcer for the White Sox. I think he's doing a good job.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other guy I found, and I'm really surprised that I like this guy because I didn't think I was going to. A.J. Pierzynski is fantastic.
He is good.
He was that guy that if he was on your team, you loved him. If you played against him, you hated him.
Yeah, exactly.
I got the
right.
Biggest out of him. The other day, I think they were doing the Tampa Bay Yankees game, and his, you know, his partner, and I don't know who he was working with, started talking to him about, you know, the opener, which is the big thing that, you know, everybody likes to talk about when they get to Tampa Bay and how they've revolutionized the game. And, it was, you know, when it was AJ's turn to talk, he's like, well, you know what we used to call that guy when we played? The starting pitcher, because he's out there for the first inning. And, oh, I lost it. I thought that was the funniest thing. Because, you know, we've been saying that for a year, you know, since they started doing it. He's the starting pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah, and A.J. has always been impressive to me. And this guy, he was a good ball player, excellent catcher, and he's terrific as an announcer, too.
So, yeah, that was the best line I had heard from an announcer, and I don't know how long. And it was just kind of the way he delivered. He's like, yeah, he's the starting pitcher. So,
spoken like a true former catcher in MLB, right?
Yeah. All the sabermetric and analytic people want to jump on it. Well, he's the opener because, you know, he opens the game. Well, then every starting pitcher is an opener because they opened the game.
Yeah, I could never get used to that term as compared to a starting pitcher.
Yeah, and what I've still never figured out, and nobody has been able to explain this to me, you know, what's the difference between this guy starting the game and facing the number one, two, and three hitters or coming in the sixth or seventh inning and facing the number one, two, and three hitters.
Yeah. Yeah, it, some of the announcers leave a bit to be desired, but if you ever take a look at some of the local sports reporters and even the people on the internet who covers sports locally, they all seem to like Len and JD, and I always think to myself, why? I haven't come up with a reason yet.
Well, you know, personality-wise, they, you know, they seem like likable guys.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I just don't think they're very good at calling baseball games.
Yeah, no, I agree with you about being. They seem likable, pleasant personalities.
Yeah.
But when it comes to covering the game, they are quite annoying.
You know, and you know, like I, you know, like I've heard Len do, you know, other radio interviews where he's being interviewed, and you know, he's super personable, and you know, he comes off as incredibly likable. You know, and again, you know, it's nothing I have against him. I just don't like the way he calls the game.
But don't you think he does a better job calling the game when he does a national broadcast?
Yeah, he's a different guy. You know, they don't do the shtick then. But for whatever reason, you know, when he's calling the Cubs game on the Cubs network, it's almost like they think they have to do this shtick. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on it either. And what do you think about Marquis's decision to have Len and JD wearing suits now and a tie for the games? What's the reason for that? Has it ever been discussed?
No, you know, I didn't hear anybody give like a reason or anything for them doing it. You know, it's kind of odd because you don't really see them on camera all that much.
No.
You know? So I don't know, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, they could say, well, you know, they look more professional.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
you
the only
could go
explanation
that.
I can give. And you know, talking about Marquis, we're running out of time here, but I got to ask your opinion. A lot of criticism, and I think justified, about the where they show their logo as to what the score of the game is at the bottom of the screen. They think it's the worst logo in any of the local broadcasts nationwide. It's most annoying. Do you have any thought about that?
It's definitely the most annoying. I don't like where it's placed. And, you know, the other issue I seem to be having is I don't like the way they track, you know, the outs and the, you know, the balls and the strikes and stuff. I don't like the way they're doing it. And, you know, like I can never figure out, and, you know, maybe I'm just old, who knows, but like I can never figure out how many outs there are. And it takes me forever before I realize, you know, oh yeah, okay, there's two outs. There's one out.
There's two dots,
so
there, yeah. And you would think with all the criticism about their where it's located, that they would say, okay, we made a mistake. People have complained about it. We're going to move it to the upper left of the screen. But they're not doing it.
No, and, you know, you do wonder if maybe at some point in time they'll make some, you know, maybe next year they'll make changes and try to kind of, you know, listen. Because, you know, this year is just such a strange year, you know, with everything.
But they do seem to run have a professional channel. I have to give them that much. I haven't seen too much in the way of technical snafus.
But, you know, it is time for us to go here. But before I hit the music, you got to make a prediction. Who wins the series this weekend, Cubs or Sox?
White Sox. No question about it.
All right. So there you go. Two seats in the White Sox and one winning. First game I'll be done Monday. We'll see how we predict. Thank you. Click the podcast. You know, the TV.com. This is the same time you want them to move. Have a good weekend.